Blog Talk Radio.
Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war. But there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this. But every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement. And this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement. And it gives no choice between peace and war, only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? When Nikita Khrushchev has told his people, he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side, he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better rev than death, or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war. Because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard around the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance. Winston Churchill said, the destiny of man is not measured by material computations. Great forces around the moon and the world, we learned their spirits, not animals. He said there's something going on in time and space and beyond time and space, which, whether we like it or not, spells duty. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
There ain't no doubt I love this land.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say,
God bless the USA, and that's what President Trump will always play to begin his rallies. And that song means so much to me. When I was coming back from the Gulf War, when we were coming back from Saudi Arabia and Iraq and, you know, the Gulf War, Lee Greenwood had just come out with that song, and so that means so much to me. Well, I will tell you that I love that song. Welcome to Deeper Truth tonight. We are, the second episode of our show series, Freedom Isn't Free, America First. And my guest host for the series is my good friend, Kansas Representative Sutton. And I'm so thankful for all of those who have been listening in. The first show was a total success, and President Trump was pleased with it, and I'm sure he's going to be pleased with tonight as well. And so if you would like to call in at 646-595-2071. Again, that's 646-595-2071. And before I bring in my co-host, Representative Sutton, I do have a piece here that I really wanted to present first. The January 6th hearing committee, which launched their attack, attempted to conceal the truth about the fact President Trump authorized 20,000 National Guard troops January 2nd, 4 days prior to January 6th. The timeline reveals that the key figures, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the United House of the Speaker of the House of the United States of Representatives, Charles Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, Washington D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser, all rejected the idea of bringing on the National Guard. It was believed that the Capitol Police would be sufficient. Senior officials believed that the force they were assembling of 6,000, 8,000 police and law enforcement officers drawn from the D.C. police, the Capitol Police, the FBI, and various federal agencies would be sufficient to contain the protest. The happenings on January 6th has been repeatedly called an insurrection, when in reality, ladies and gentlemen, the real insurrection was 4 November, when the presidential election was stolen as the result of a coup, including the liberal media, the judicial branch that blocked all the evidence. Well, anyway, Bernie Thompson of the January 6th committee, he's the chairman, devoted 12 minutes of his opening statement that has been labeled as snooze fest as he launched his attack on President Trump. This led into United States Representative from Wyoming Liz Cheney's 34-minute uninterrupted Democrat talking points. She's supposed to be a Republican there. Yeah, right. I don't know. She was giving the Democrat talking points. The goal of this hearing is to prevent President Trump from running and defeating the Democrats for a third time. Also, through this hearing, the Democrats seek to do away with the Electoral College, which right now a candidate must receive 270 of the 538 electoral votes to become president or vice president. If a candidate or for president fails to receive 270 votes, the House itself will choose the president from among the three individuals who receive the most electoral votes. And why that's important for us, especially here in Kansas or Missouri or even where you are there, where some of our people are, Tennessee and New Jersey, is that our electoral process wouldn't be all dictated by California or New York, but all of us have a piece of, you know, so that's why it's important for us to keep the electoral, election process. And so I'm going to bring in my, Kansas State Representative Bill Sutton, you have this 2022 legislative update which you've sent out. So I thought it'd be great for you to kind of talk a little bit about that. So the first question, do you support legislation that would prohibit K-12 schools from teaching controversial, divisive subjects such as critical race theory and diversity? You know, equality and inclusion. I hope that everybody you got there has said yes on that.
Sam, thanks for asking, and good evening. Glad to be here again. I wouldn't say that everybody has been against that, but right now I've received about a 10% response rate on that mailing. So I think we're getting into the area of, you know, statistical accuracy here when I say that just over 75% of the responders, and these are all likely voters, I said pay no attention to the affiliation, the political affiliation, just mail it to the most likely voters. And over 75% have come back and said, yes, we want that legislation. And that kind of surprised me a little bit because what I've been hearing anyway, from where I was sitting is that that's not taught in schools. It's only a college-level program. I had heard anecdotal stories about, you know, maybe, you know, here and there rogue teachers, but I hadn't heard anything systemic at all. But when I've got, you know, over 75% of the respondents saying no, keep that out of our schools, I think that's something that I'd better darn well pay attention to.
Oh, amen. The second one, very close to, do you support a parent's bill of rights allowing parents greater input on what is taught in schools and greater transparency regarding classroom materials? And I hope that you get a 100% yes on that. That you know, they don't want the bad ones. Yeah.
Yeah, on that one also surprised me a little bit. I didn't get 100%, but we're at 73.8% are pushing for that. I think the key there is the transparency, and I can't tell you where it's happening, if it's happening even, but there are a lot of parents who truly feel like they're not involved. They're intentionally not being allowed to be involved in their children's education. With the advent of the computers instead of textbooks and everything being online and password protected, and that's fabulous. I agree with all of that, but there does have to be some avenue for parents to know what the children are being taught.
Amen.
And apparently the vast majority agree with me on that one.
Outstanding. I know that I shared this. I asked these questions to my wife, and she was 100% with me.
I'm not surprised there.
Also, do you support greater protection for landowners affected by proposed wind or solar farms? And, of course, I hope you got a good response on that one.
Well, I did, and that one's more of a kind of a local issue, really. I'm sure that there are these sort of developments going on in other parts of the country, but right here in my district, there's a big solar farm being planned, and it's going through the process. Nothing has been built yet, but it's going through the process, and there's a lot of back and forth on this, and that's why I wanted to ask the question. I don't really know what protections we're looking at. I mean, are we talking about reducing the size of these projects, or are we talking about spacing them X number of miles from a city? Are we talking about road setbacks? There are a number of different things. And so while 67.9% are in favor of those, I really should drill down a little bit more and go to those respondents and say, what sort of protections are you really looking at? Because if it's just a land use, I'm going to be real hesitant to say, no, you can't use your land this way. You know, that's your land. But at the same time, you know, we do live in a community, and so we have to take into account our neighbors. And so I really want to drill down. That one, 67.9 was a yes on that, but I want to find out a little bit more information before really going hog wild and find out what exactly they have in mind.
Yeah. And then you have this two different proposals, direct election of judges judges by Kansas voters, or nomination by the governor and confirmation by the Kansas Senate. So obviously that was a yes or no to that proposal one and two. So do we elect judges by voters or have them nominated by the governor? And if you were to say nominated by the governor, you better make sure who you vote in for the governor, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that's the federal model. That's the way that Supreme Court justices are nominated. And as we see, that one can be good and it can be not quite as good, depending upon who you elect into office. The results on this one were really interesting, I thought, the first one is just direct election of justices. And that one actually polled pretty well. 56% of the respondents were in favor of that one, with only 20.2 opposed. And then, you know, the rest were kind of unsure, and I get that because it's a complicated issue. Do we want judges running for office? Do we want them receiving money from lobbyists, or do we only allow wealthy judges who can afford their own campaign? Yeah, it's a sticky one. That's a complicated one. I really thought that the federal model that we use, which was Proposition 2 on there, would have had more support, and surprisingly, it really didn't. I wonder if we didn't have a Democrat governor, if those numbers would change a little bit. But right now it was 32.1 yes and 34.5 no on that one, with only 11.9% unsure. So yeah, that one surprised me a little bit. I really thought the federal model would be the route that people would want to go, and maybe if I had described it as the federal model in the rather than how it works with the governor nominating and the Senate confirming. Maybe that would have changed the outcome of the question a little bit, but right now it looks like the majority of the people in my district anyway are you know, interested in looking at direct election of Supreme Court justices.
Yeah, that does sound right. That sounds about there. Okay, then this one was, I thought it was very interesting. What issues facing the state of Kansas, and I would say wherever you're at, whether you're New Jersey or Tennessee or wherever you're at in the states, what issues facing the state you're in are most important to you? And so you said checked out all that. It applies to those multiple. So what was some of the most numerous responses you got?
Here in Johnson County, Kansas, this didn't surprise me even a little bit. The runaway winner on this one was property taxes, over 76% of the responders saying that property taxes was a key issue for them. And here in Johnson County, that's, like I said, that's not a surprise at all. Our property taxes are through the roof. And I don't see any end in sight on that one. But coming in second was K-12 education, and federal overreach was huge, followed very closely by inflation. And,
yeah,
you know, the inflation that the entire country is facing, that can't be all that surprising either. And there were, what was that, 65.5% were saying that inflation was the number one issue.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Or was a key issue. It wasn't number one. I didn't have them ranked 1, 2, 3. I just said which ones are very important to you. And so, yeah, the property taxes, federal overreach, K-12 education, and inflation really took it by storm.
I would say probably here in Kansas, I could see why election integrity wouldn't be as high on the chart there as it would be in other states, because we didn't seem to have some of the problems that you had in other states like Arizona and Georgia and Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania. You know, it seems like
exactly,
we didn't have
exactly.
This.
No. Even on that one, though, we had almost 60% saying that election integrity was one of their major issues.
Wow.
It wasn't as high as the other ones, but, yeah, it was still up there. And so I think that's something that the Secretary of State, Scott Schwab, had really, you know, better pay attention to. I don't think, you know, electronic – I was at one time the chairman of the Elections Committee in the House. And we ran some really good legislation through to, you know, every ballot has to be, you know, tracked with a paper count, as a paper printout as well. Nothing can be connected to the internet. We passed a great bill to stop ballot harvesting, and so I think there's a little bit more confidence in Kansas. Due to some of the proactive steps that we took well before the 2020 election, but I still think, you know, the mail-in ballots and the drop boxes are something that people are very concerned with in here.
Yeah, yeah, that would be very, very definitely a problem, and what we've seen in the seven. Battleground states, and that was definitely problematic.
Absolutely. I'm just thankful that we were a little bit more proactive in Kansas and able to hopefully keep some of those problems that they experienced from arising here to the same extent anyway.
Exactly. And there's another one that you have on this questionnaire that I think kind of deals with number 6. Do you support amending the Kansas State Constitution to overturn a 2019 decision by the Kansas Supreme Court and affirm there is no Kansas constitutional right to abortion and that the legislature has the right to pass laws to regulate abortion? Now, in asking this question, it's interesting that when you sent this out to everybody that you thought would be voters, And so it's interesting to get these stats.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was really hopeful that this one was going in ear to my heart. I really wished that we would have 100% yes on that one. But it didn't turn out that way. But right now we have, it's still 2-1. We have 59.5 yes, 28.6 no. So it's still 2-1. I'm happy with that, but we've got an entire statewide race here. So just my district isn't going to be able to carry all the other ones. We've got to work on this. This is the most important election this year, is getting constitutional.
The second of August, right?
That's a big, yeah. Yeah, those voting no can vote on the 4th, but that was a joke, not seriously. Not seriously. But no, that election is on August 2nd.
Well, we got 100% in our favor on that question from this household, my household. We're 100% on
excellent.
That.
Excellent.
So that
I'll deliver your sign tomorrow. Oh, wait, you already have a sign.
Yeah, I already got a sign out there.
Okay.
You bet.
All right. Mine's out. In fact, just before the show, I had delivered it one this afternoon, and a fellow called me and said, hey, my neighbors, I hadn't walked his neighborhood yet. He said, my neighbors are jealous. They want signs. So I had to bring 5 more out for his little section of the neighborhood because they were jealous of his. We're going to have a big effort to get. I delivered 100 of them to the Catholic Church already, and I know they're going out the door there. And in fact, Tuesday I'm picking up a big sign to put in front of the church. Father Adam is away with it. He's the one who requested it. I didn't even have to ask him. He requested it. So I'm excited. We're going to have a big push. This primary season, we're going to be out knocking doors, even though I've got no one running against me in the primary. But we've got to get this across the finish line.
Now, where's this going to be? What are you doing? When are you doing this? Door to door?
Walking every day. That's what campaign issues.
Well, the reason I ask that, if I get an offer, I'll be out there with you.
Oh, okay, very good. I will let you know every time I go out. You can pretty much assume about 5 o'clock every day.
Okay, that sounds good.
Especially when it's
hot.
This... I love to campaign when it's hot.
Yeah, but I tell you what, this is good. I love this little legislative update. The survey that you put out. I thought it was interesting, and that I didn't know that you sent it out to everybody. You know, but
I sent it out to 4,000 likely voters. That was the
yeah.
thing.
Well, that's,
but yeah, I
want to.
I want to know what people are thinking about because not everybody calls me. In fact, usually, my predecessor in this office told me when I took office, he said, no, it was amicable. Don't worry, I didn't beat him in a race. But he's a friend. I was replacing him. And he said, Bill, there is no such thing as love mail. So unless I send out a survey like this, I only find out what people are thinking when they're unhappy. And that can kind of wear you down a little bit. So I really wanted to – I like to do this every couple of years, get input, see what people are thinking, and really just make sure that I really am – a representative of this district, and by golly, by these results, I certainly still am.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I do got a question since before we got a couple of callers here that are. Just hold on, guys. But I do want to see. Did you happen to have any thought in reference to what I led off with in reference to that hearing, that committee that was they're trying to go after President Trump? Did you have any thought about that at all?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I definitely do. This thing, anybody who thinks this is This is an investigation, fact-finding mission, is fooling themselves. This is, well, I guess you wouldn't remember this because even I was pretty young on this one, but when Juvenal wrote Satire 10, this would have been, I don't know, 150 BC or so, he talked about bread and circuses. And this is the equivalent of the circus part of the bread and circuses. They are so desperate. The D's are so desperate with the midterms coming up. They have got to distract the American people from the price at the pump, the price at the gas station, the empty shelves. They have got to distract people from that, and this is their Hail Mary pass. This is them yelling "squirrel" and hoping everybody turns their head. I don't see it happening. Hell,
wow.
The ratings are terrible. The ratings are horrible for it. Fox News doubled the viewership of MSNBC, and they didn't show the hearing. This is just a distraction ploy, trying to get people's minds, trying to get people fired up to go vote in this midterm election with this on their mind. But people still have to fill up the gas tank. This is I don't know. It's desperate. It's just desperate and almost sad to watch.
Well, I thought the one thing that has come out is that President Trump did authorize 20,000 National Guard troops to come in to protect. And Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and the governor, the mayor of Washington D.C. rejected it. And the media is unbelievable. They're trying to, they don't want Trump. They don't want President Trump to be able to run again. They're trying to prevent him from running. So they want to try to end this whole thing about the Constitution. They want to change the Constitution on many fronts. And so that's what a lot of this is about as well. Have you heard anything like that?
Right. I haven't heard too much about that yet. You were talking about it earlier. I do want to do a little bit more digging into it. But I haven't heard too much about that part. This is just as far as I've heard, it's just a publicity stunt, just a desperation ploy. And they have a history. The D's have a history of doing exactly what you described, though, as far as rejecting the assistance just to try to, and actually endangering people's lives for the purpose of political gain. And you remember when George W. Was in office and he offered the National Guard to Louisiana when Katrina hit, and they turned him down.
I remember.
Once again,
I definitely remember
endangering
that.
Lives just for political points. It's despicable. It's I don't know, evil.
No, it is evil, and that's exactly what they did, And so I you're 100% right on that. We've got our first caller. I'll go ahead, Mike from New Jersey. How you doing, Mike?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. Listening to that chairman babble on like an old ancient empire reminded me of a radio play I heard. It was several years ago. It was called The Investigator. It was written by Reuben Ship. Now, Reuben Ship, some of you might know him from The Life of Riley. He also had something to do with that show. In it, it was based, the play was based on, it was actually based on the investigative life of Senator Joe McCarthy, who saw a communist behind every wall. And he got to be chairman of the Permanent Entry Committee in heaven. It's a long, kind of a long story. And he was sending heaven was referred to as up here, hell was referred to as down there. The two were never. God was referred to as the chief, The devil wasn't even mentioned. Of course, when you hear him, when you hear spot his line that you have to give me my due, you knew exactly who he was. The person playing Joe McCarthy was taking over everything, and he wanted to investigate God. And this is kind of reminds me of that that Yehu's the chairman of this January 6th committee. See if you don't agree.
This committee is a greater power. I am a greater power.
But he's the chief.
No, I am the chief. I am the chief.
It's crazy.
And you see the orchestration drowns out the poor guy. And it was kind of an interesting take on what they did. But one of the other things that I dug out of my library in preparation for our program tonight was a clip from Ronald Reagan, 1987 State of the Union address, went something like this.
Let's stop suppressing the spiritual core of our national being. Our nation could not have been conceived without divine help. Why is it that we can build a nation with our prayers, but we can't use a schoolroom for voluntary prayer?
Amen.
The 100th Congress of the United States should be remembered as the one that ended the expulsion of God from America's classrooms.
That's the root cause of what we're dealing with.
I can't argue with that.
We're dealing with America has chosen to go away from God. And since they take God's design for sex and everything else, since they take God's design out, they have to replace it with something. That's why you're getting the critical race theory. That's why you're getting a lot of this stuff.
Absolutely.
And
they
just complicate
it. Something.
What needs to happen, and I see our so-called leaders running all over the place trying to come up with gun laws, and no, that's not the answer. I could set a gun at the front door of my house and aim it at the door, and everybody that comes in there, I want that gun to kill. If there's not somebody behind it pulling the trigger, that gun's going to sit there. We might be on our 6,241st show. That gun's going to sit there. It's not going to shoot anybody. It's not going to shoot anybody until a human person picks up that gun and decides decides where to aim it. Ain't going to happen.
Exactly.
You
right.
You got to deal with the heart of man. And one of the most excellent examples I heard of that was Daryl Scott. Daryl Scott lost his 17-year-old daughter Rachel in the Columbine massacre, and he testified before a Senate committee, and it sounded something like this.
And we'd ask you all to generally summarize your statements so that we can move this along in a generally expeditious fashion. Mr. Scott, you're recognized. Please let us hear from what you have to say.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for hearing my heart. At this very moment in a cemetery in southern Denver, Chapel Hill Cemetery, they're erecting the 13 crosses that I think are well known across the country as a permanent memorial at the head of my daughter's grave. And my heart really longs to be there with my children, Bethany and her husband Don, Dana, Craig, and Mike. But it's with their blessing that I'm here today, and I appreciate that. I realize that I'm a mere pawn in today's hearings, but I'm a willing pawn because I dare to believe that I can make a difference. Every once in a while, a pawn has been used to checkmate a king. And I have no hidden agenda, and of course I have no political aspirations. I simply speak to you as a broken-hearted father, and I only ask that you allow your heart to hear me for the next few minutes. Since the dawn of creation, there's been both good and evil in the heart of men and women. And we all contain those seeds. We contain the seeds of kindness and the seeds of violence. and the death of my wonderful daughter, Rachel Joy Scott, and the deaths of that heroic teacher and the other 11 children who died must not be in vain. Their blood cries out for answers. The first recorded act of violence was when Cain slew his brother Abel out in the field. The villain was not the club he used. Neither was it the NCA, the National Club Association. The true killer was Cain, and the reason for the murder could only be found in his heart. In the days that followed the Columbine tragedy, I was amazed at how quickly fingers began to be pointed at groups such as the NRA. I am not a member of the NRA. I am not a hunter. I do not even own a gun. I'm not here to represent or to defend the NRA because I don't believe they're responsible for my daughter's death. Therefore, I don't believe they need to be defended by me. If I believed they had anything to do with Rachel's murder, I would be their strongest opponent. I am here today to declare that Columbine was not just a tragedy. It was a spiritual event that should be forcing us to look at where the real blame lies. Much of that blame lies here in this room. Much of that blame lies behind the pointing fingers of the accusers themselves. I wrote a poem just 4 nights ago that expressed my feelings best, and it was written before I knew that I would be speaking here today, and I'd like to read that. Your laws ignore our deepest needs. Your words are empty air. You've stripped away our heritage. You've outlawed simple prayer. Now gunshots fill our classrooms, and precious children die. You seek for answers everywhere and ask the question, why? You regulate restrictive laws through legislative creed, and yet you fail to understand that God is what we need.
Kind of that sums
exactly
it up, doesn't it?
It does sum
wow.
it up. That's powerful. And yes, that is very powerful. We've got Doc from Tennessee. Calling
What's
from
up,
Tennessee.
Doc?
How you doing, Doc?
Wow, that's a hell of a thing to follow, man. Wow. I'll do my best. I took some notes. Just bear with me here. The schools. I want to go back to what the representative there. What's your name again, sir?
Bill Sutton.
Bill Sutton. Okay, when you were talking about the schools, okay, this is my general opinion, and I'm here to represent convention states, and one of the things we talk about at all the convention states meeting is get involved in the school board. You can't bitch about your kids being not taught properly, not being properly taught, not being educated in the world, not being catechized or anything if you're not involved. Go to the school board meetings, run for the school board, then you can make a change. You want to make a change, you got to make it from within. Okay? This LGBTQRIS and this parent involvement in the school, yes, the parents need to get involved. And if what needs to also happen is we need to stop funding these schools that are nothing but indoctrination centers. You worry about your children, what they're going to learn at school, and why are you giving them your money? And lastly, on the school thing, you want to stop the school shootings, put signs up on every school and back the signs up with action, that warning. Any attempt to harm children on this school premises will be met by deadly force. The staff have been taught and trained in firearm protection, and many of them are carrying. And that will end school shootings. Now, do we need prayer in school? Yes, but we won't get that back until we change the legislation. And we won't get that back till we get term limits, because the cabal, the one-unit government we have, forget the party, Democrat, Republican, I'm sorry, I vote as a Republican because I have no choice. But Democrat and Republican is the same thing. It's a uniparty system. And nobody can tell me otherwise because the evidence is overwhelming. You look at the programs that the Democrats are pushing and the ones that the Republicans are pushing. You look at who's funding those programs, who are behind them, and I guarantee you got people from both sides. It's the two sides of a coin that's no longer currency. And we need term limits. That will fix a lot of the problems with – with the government, with the federal government, term limits on elected, federal elected officials and judges. And the only way we're going to get that is to make it a law. And the only way we can do that is through Convention of States. Go to conventionofstates.com, sign a petition, watch a few videos, learn something about your country. Now, what you said about the computers in the school, you're going to love this. Yeah, we did a lot of homeschooling on the computer during the pandemic. You know, the beautiful thing, it backfired because now more parents than ever are aware of the filth that they've been teaching our children because we've seen it in our homes. And more parents are getting involved, thank God. Now, also, I had a little thing about your judge thing. What if they did the judge gets selected, the ones that they want to put on there, they're selected by the government, but then the people themselves vote on it. That way you get a better answer of should that person be a judge. And Don, to your thing about the 20,000 troops, I give you one good reason why they didn't want them National Guard troops there. These people couldn't control them. You bring in National Guard troops, they already got control over the D.C. police. They already got control over all the – they had their own armed force right there. The ones that, you know, you can't have guns, but these guys do. And, Mike, to your prayer in school thing, you know, I agree with you 100%, but I'll tell you what, I was in school. And every time I had a test, I had a prayer. And you can't take prayer out of school. You know, it should be this. We're going to have prayer time. You're not, you don't want to believe, you believe in a carrot or that you're just a bunch of, that you're an accident or whatever. Well, you have quiet time, you know, boom. But anyway, that's my thing. We can make term limits, balanced budget, and a small federal government a law. In your state, who cares more about your state, the environment in your state? The people in your state or the people in Washington? A balanced budget, no more middle of the night $1.5 trillion omnibus bills. Are you kidding me? That's ridiculous. Those people should have been tarred and feathered for voting on that. Okay? And that right there, we get a balanced budget. You have to live within your means. I got to live within my means. The federal government can just cut down a bunch of trees and print up some money. That should not be allowed. And the last thing, and term limits, no more lifetime appointments on the bench, no more lifetime appointment in Washington. You can't in California, all you got to do is have a pulse and you can vote. Nancy Pelosi districts looks like a third world country. You cannot tell me those people are voting her in. I would not believe it if you show me the evidence. There's no way. And just for the rest of them, they're corrupt. They're bloated. They have no concept. Listen to me, all the listeners out there. Name one politician, one federal politician that's living on that gravy train that has any inkling into your life, into what it takes to fill your gas tank or put food on your cupboard. We need to put an end to the corrupt career politician. And the only way to do that is to go to conventionofstates.com. You can tell them your old buddy Doc sent you and sign the petition. We could have a convention of states by the end of next year and put an end to all this without firing a shot. Amen. Can I get a hallelujah?
Okay. What do you think about that, Representative Sutton? There's a lot there, a lot of meat and potatoes there.
Well, yeah, there's a lot to unpack. But to one of the points, and I don't remember if it was the first or the second, but involving getting involved in the school boards, and I 100% agree with that. That was something that last year we worked very hard to do. We recruited candidates, excellent candidates. We walked, we knocked doors, we talked to folks. We ended up with we have a 6-1 majority in the school district of common sense folks, and my wife is the school board president. So, yeah, I agree with you 100% and have put my time and tears into making sure that I walk the walk, not just talk the talk. So, absolutely. I agree with that. Convention of States, I think I mentioned this last week. I was an early signer on that one and was the chair of the Kansas delegation when we did the Convention of States simulation in historic Williamsburg. If you click on the videos on that, you might even see me sitting there. It was a much younger version of me. but you see me arguing and casting votes at the Convention of States simulation. That was an excellent event, by the way. I'll tell you what. Do we have just a minute? I can talk about this.
Yes.
All right?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
When I went in there, I had already been in office for I don't know 4 or 5 years, and I really had low expectations. All right. When I heard that we were bringing legislators in from all over the country, we were all going to sit down one day, have committee hearings, the next day have floor action, because this was a simulation. In real life, obviously, it would take much, much longer. But I really had, like I said, low expectations. I figured we'd all go in there and argue and bicker and you know, punch at each other verbally, probably, and then come away with nothing. And I was really, really surprised at just how serious folks were taking this, how much work had been done ahead of time by a lot of legislators. I had some really, really good conversations with legislators from other states. You know, I had my ideas. They said, we tried that. Let's try it this way, and here's why. And, you know, there was a lot of give and take. And even though we were only there for 2 days, we really started fleshing out some pretty solid ideas. And I was just amazed at how well the process worked. There had even been, I found out after the fact, some folks who were brought in to try to kind of derail the system. You know, you always hear about runaway convention and all this sort of thing. Well, there were some folks who were brought in to try to do exactly that, and it failed because, you know, their recommendations weren't germane to the they don't apply to the question is really kind of what that means, and so their motions were disallowed. And it worked. I mean, it worked just like it's supposed to. And I was amazed. I was highly, highly impressed.
I got a question to ask you on what the caller from Tennessee was asking about term limits. What is your feeling about term limits?
I said that there was some give and take with other legislators, it just so happened that sitting about 4 or 5 chairs away from me was the delegation from Missouri. Now, Missouri has enacted term limits, pretty aggressive term limits, as a matter of fact. And, I was saying, you know, I was very strict on it as when I went in there, and they said, hold on, let me explain to you how this works when you actually apply it. You know, because unintended consequences are something that we always have to deal with. That's what you – number two priority when you're passing a law is what else is it going to do? You know, you look at what it's going to do, but then you got to look at what else it's going to do. And in Missouri, I'm for term limits. Before I get into that, let me just say I'm still for term limits. I went into the conventions for them. I'm still for them, but now – I have a slightly different approach to it because in Missouri, whoever is the most popular in that Senate district then goes on to be the senator. And it's just kind of, you're just churning people through the pipeline and then they leave. And that's good, except for one issue that theirs is just too fast is probably what the problem is. Because there's a lot of institutional knowledge. Like, for example, I've been chairing a budget committee for 6 years. And so when the agencies come to me with their budget, I know what they said last year. I know what they said 2 years ago. I have my notes right here. This is the folder from 2 years ago, from 4 years ago, I know what you said. Your story has changed. Why? They can't get away with it because I know. And it's not just me. It's institutional knowledge. If you do away with that, then agency heads and lobbyists have all the power because they have all the knowledge, all the institutional knowledge. Now, in fact, there was one rep out of Missouri who was I don't even remember whether he was for or against gun. It was a gun issue, and he wasn't voting the way that a certain lobbyist wanted him to. And like I said, I can't remember the exact issue, but he wasn't voting the way this lobbyist wanted him to. And the lobbyist said, "That's fine, you'll be out in 2 years. I'll still be here."
Yeah,
that's scary.
Yeah,
that's scary. Now,
that is scary.
With that said,
I think
I am in favor.
I think when people think of the reason for term limits is they think of Nancy Pelosi
absolutely.
Chuck Schumer.
Yeah. And when we have 300 years tenure. Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm for term limits. I just want to make sure that we don't set them so short that we hand all of the power, all of the knowledge off to agency heads and lobbyists because they're not elected or accountable to anyone, really, president, that's about it. So I just want to be very careful with this. I'm in favor of it. I just want to make sure that we are preserving the power to elected officials and not handing it off.
No, that's a huge, huge problem and an issue that I know that President Trump ran into himself. With a lot of the people who are, the part of the swamp. That's what he's talking about.
Exactly.
Swamp.
Well, that's exactly it. Yeah. That's exactly what we're talking about.
And President Trump, if you happen to be listening to this show tonight, just know that we definitely support you and all the America First candidates. We got to have that to happen. So. Whether it's Kansas, which Kansas is relatively conservative, we definitely need to win the governorship. We got to get the governorship here.
We've got to get the governorship. We've got to get the third district flipped.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that I think Tennessee's pretty solid. I think Missouri's pretty solid for the most part. Now you get into St. Louis. I know that the gentleman that and his wife, they got in trouble because Black Lives Matter came on their property and threatened them and all that. And
sure,
they got into trouble
sure.
with. But the, he's
Mark
running for
something
Senate,
up,
Senate
wasn't
over
it?
There.
Yeah. That's
yeah,
right.
And one of our members, one of our Deeper Truth members, Kathy, interviewed him and talked with him. And I'm trying to see if we can't get him to come on our show when we get him. That would be awesome to get him one time or another.
Oh, absolutely.
So we'll see what we can do.
That's phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. That would be phenomenal to get him on. But, this has just been an outstanding, great show. Representative Sutton, you got just a couple of minutes. Do you have a last point that you'd like to make out of all this tonight? A lot of meat and potatoes.
Yeah, there's been a lot we've covered. Don't really know. I would say there are two things that come to my mind that I want to drive home. First off, this January 6th thing is just a circus, and it's just to try to distract people from what a terrible, terrible job this administration has been doing, starting with Afghanistan and ending up at, I think I paid $4.69 a gallon today for gas. There hasn't been anything good happen with this administration, and they're desperate to distract us from that fact. Secondly, for all you Kansas voters, value them both. We have got to get this across the finish line on August 2nd.
Amen. Amen. And I want to thank our listeners out there. We've got many, many hundreds of listeners out there. And I want to thank our callers from Tennessee and New Jersey and, That is Oh, this is great. This is great. And so, Representative Sutton, I am looking forward to next week already.
Excellent.
This will be our third show. And we got 6 months. We got 6 months, so we got a lot of good information, and hopefully we get some good interviews here.
Well, I hope so, because I don't have 6 months worth of wisdom to impart. I can assure you of that.
We'll bring it. And I tell you what, you are outstanding. You're outstanding. I'm so thankful that you're with us here, Representative Sutton. And I think this is going to be good. And I intend on getting out there with you, knocking on doors, and whenever you got some opportunities, I'll come out there with you. I think that'd
be
a lot of good.
Perfect. Sounds perfect. We're gonna hit the streets with an army, baby.
Amen. Amen. Now, I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, when the Catholic Defender and Representative Sutton gets together on these little things like this, we send lightning rods in through the kingdom of darkness. You know, we blow them up. So.
You've got the lightning rods. I'm kind of like a Zippo over here, but nonetheless, we'll go with it.
Well, this is good stuff. This is great. Well, I'm going to end this with a promo, and we will see everybody next week, same bat time and same bat station here on Deeper Truth. And tell your friends, and get it out there, because there's people in every state that have all the same issues and concerns, and we got to take back the Congress and take back the Senate. We got to do that. And we do that, then we'll take back the presidency. And President Trump can beat him a third time. So God bless you there, and your family, Representative Sutton.
Well, thank
you. God bless you and your wife. And all right.
And the dogs, my son will be back here for next Saturday.
Hey, that'd be interesting. That'd be interesting to see what his thoughts are. And he is in the Army, right?
He is. He's a medic.
That's right. That's what I was, combat medic. So
yeah,
outstanding.
Right.
So I look forward to seeing him as well. He's a good man.
Yep,
that's going to be great. So maybe we can see what he thinks about some of this.
There you go.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening.
He's still in the Army, so we'll have to clean up his language a little bit. You know?
Oh. Yeah. Definitely. But he'll be
thank
all right.
Bill,
he'll
Doctor.
Be all right. He'll be okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, God
absolutely.
Bless you. And thank you, Doc.
And you.
Thank you, Mike.
And you as well.
And thank you. Yes. Thank you, Mike. Representative Sutton. Well, I was trying to say, but that's the best. That is it. That's the best way, Representative Sutton. And that is so good. That is so awesome.
Bill.
Yeah, and he does, and you do a good job. I love this survey that you got, and it's very interesting how you've calculated, put all that in percentages and everything, and you've sent it openly, so it's not like you knew that 100% of everybody's going to respond one way. But you put it out there to get everybody's, kind of wide range. So that was excellent what you did.
I'm supposed to represent, so I want to know what I'm representing.
On some of these important issues and matters.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, this is it. But we will see everybody next week. And so God
all
bless
right.
everybody.
And
all
you
right.
as well. Take care.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Truth is a fine line. Deeper Truth is an even finer line. When we decided to call ourselves Deeper Truth, we knew the obligations that name would put upon us. We wanted our readers and listeners to be always confident. Whenever you tuned into a program with a Deeper Truth logo, that is exactly what you got. Deeper Truth. From Journey with Mary with John Carpenter on Sundays to the Eucharistic Miracles with Dr. Gregory Thompson on Mondays, you learned you were never alone, that heaven is only a prayer away. It is a sacred obligation week after week to bring you not just the truth, but the deeper truth. And that is why
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Johnny Cash came out with I Walk the Line in 1956, and I was born in 1956, so I can genuinely say that I've been following his line, thanks to my mother and to our Holy Catholic Church, ever since. And so good night, everybody, and God bless you all, and we will see you next time.